Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So this man at your father's church kept setting dates for the second coming to happen.
Yeah, actually, he had dreams.
Okay.
And so my dad told him, don't set up dates because the Bible says we don't know the time. Of course, all of us are so excited. We go to sleep many times thinking about the second coming of Jesus. We read the Bible before we go to sleep. So a lot of people dream about this. And he said, no, but God communicated with me the date.
Uh-huh.
And so the year would come and go, and it would say, obviously Jesus had not come, he said, well, I got another dream. And he went like this for several years. And my dad kept admonishing him that this is not what the Bible talks about, to be aware of this apocalyptic fever that we call it. People that have this feverish feelings about the end of times, and they're constantly trying to run away or do something about that.
We have seen this over and over again throughout history. People have set dates. I remember, you remember when Y2K happened with the December 31st of 1999.
I remember so well.
All of our computers were supposed to stop working and all sorts of other things. I remember one preacher telling his congregation prior to Y2K, remember, on December 31st at midnight, where do you not want to be? In an airplane, an elevator, or sitting next to a toaster?
Why was that?
I don't know.
Wow.
I've never been able to figure out how sitting next to a toaster was the equivalent of being in an airplane or an elevator, or what was supposed to happen. I don't know if it's going to blow up or what,
yeah.
but
wow.
that was his message.
It's very interesting how people get this fever.
Yeah.
I saw people that moved to other countries, that dig wells to have water, that, stash toilet paper for 2 years.
And storing up food, all sorts of things, yeah.
This is something that the Bible is constantly warning us about, that the second coming, of course, is the greatest hope that we have, and that we are supposed to be ready because we don't know when we are dying or when we are, stopping this life, but that we have signs of the second coming, and we know it's soon, but we don't know when it is.
That's right. In fact, even in Paul's day, this was happening because some people were saying that the second coming had already happened. Some people were saying that, it's not already happened, but when it happens, the people who have died won't be able to see it. All sorts of things were going on about this, and so Paul now writes to them to begin to address some of these issues.
One of the interesting things about reading a letter of Paul or any other letter in the New Testament is that imagine a phone conversation. We only hear one side of the phone conversation, and we don't hear the other person talking on the other side. So when Paul is answering in the letter, he's actually answering something that they have told him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, these people have had some problems with this. Some of them had stopped working because the Lord was coming
soon. That's right. They quit their jobs. Why work? Because Jesus is coming very soon.
Yeah. Some other people had said, well, he has already come because we have met somebody in the desert or things like that. So in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul goes directly to this topic.
Yeah, he answers their questions. We don't know exactly what the questions were. We can pretty well have a guess regarding this because,
you
look at the response.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come.
So here we know specifically that they were saying that the day of the Lord had already come,
right,
and that they had missed it. And Paul says, look, you're losing your composure. You are being disturbed by things that are not true. And then he starts telling them that there would be some signs before the coming of the Lord.
Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction.
One of the signs that he says are going to happen is that this power or this person or this deception will come and will exalt himself above all other possible gods or objects of worship. Verse 4 says that this who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God.
Now, the problem with this is that Paul really does not identify who this is. He does not explain this in any kind of detail. And this is the only place in Scripture we find this particular title. So yeah. We don't really have anything to compare it with.
Yeah, but we do know that the concept has been spoken of in other places. We have it in Revelation. We have the Antichrist.
The Antichrist a lot of people have compared this to that particular term and that title. And so, yes, it may be related.
And it says that this person will come with power and sign and false words. Many times the Bible says that there will be those counterfeit. Is that a good word?
Counterfeit is a great word
counterfeit
for this.
That we will say, wow, this person has a lot of powers, doing a lot of miracles. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, be aware that not everybody that comes like that is from the Lord.
That's right, because Satan produces miracles, and so it doesn't mean a miraculous sign is not necessarily a note of authenticity for the message. We've got other things we need to look at as well.
I think it's very interesting because nowadays, we already have tons of people that call themselves Messiah.
Yes.
And when I say tons, I mean, there's all these people, I've seen them on TV myself, saying, mm-hmm. I am the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people follow them. And we have these terrible tragedies of whole groups of people dying because they followed a person.
Yeah, you remember David Koresh, who called himself the sinful Messiah. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, the sinful Messiah. But he referred to himself as a Messiah, and people followed him and did disastrously as well.
Yeah, see, one of the things that Paul says is that there will be people that will come before the second coming claiming that they are God and that they are above God and that you got to forget everything that you know about God because they will tell you something different. And actually, Jesus warns us of the same thing.
He does, and we find that in Matthew chapter 24 is one of the places where we find this. But it is interesting that an event of such blessing and of such joy, the second coming, can be accompanied by such craziness, absolute craziness that people produce. And so Jesus taught about this in order to help prepare us for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, this word coming of the Lord, as we have told you before, in the Greek is parousia. The parousia was a word that was used when a royal coming would occur. Like if a governor came or the emperor came, his coming would be called the parousia or parousia. And here in the New Testament, we get this term now starting to be used for the royal coming of the Lord. So every mm-hmm. time we find this word coming of the Lord, we know that it's talking about the end of times, the second coming, which all of us are actually waiting for with great excitement.
Well, let's read a little bit about what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 23, as he talks about this coming, his return. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect.
So this is what I was talking about. I've seen it myself on the news, mm-hmm. people saying, I am the Christ, or people saying, well, we think the Christ has come and is in the desert. And Jesus himself mm-hmm. says, look, this is part of what will happen right before I come. We will have these people claiming these things.
He says, so if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out, or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Yeah, verse 27 says that the lightning that you see in a storm is a good sign of what it will look like. Of course, it will be a lot greater than that, but you see the lightning cross the whole sky.
You can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
You're not
going
to miss the second coming. He's not going to sneak in and you say, wow, did that happened and I missed it. I'm sorry. It's like lightning. You're outside when there's a storm. You're not going to miss this. And now verse 28 is a strange verse for a lot of people.
Actually, it's very simple.
It says,
whatever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And a lot of people have given me the most horrible descriptions.
Interesting interpretations of that verse.
What it really means is, this is the way signs work. When you see a lot of vultures in the air, means that there's a corpse down mm-hmm. there that they're about to eat. So he says, when you see all the signs, this is what it means, that the Son of Man is about to come. It's only a metaphor, a parallelism, a simile, we
That's
call
right.
them, that there is signs. And when you see all these vultures, means that there is a corpse. When you see all the signs, you know that Jesus is coming. And then he starts talking about the actual second coming.
Verse 29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man.
I can't wait for that day. Can you?
No, I can't. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory.
And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Oh, that day, the second coming of the Lord, when he will do this and he will sound that trumpet, you know, every day I think of that day, and
yes,
I can't wait to see Jesus face to face.
This is a day of reunion with the one who has loved you all along, the one who redeemed you, the one who created you. He wants to spend eternity with you, and that's what the second coming is about. He's coming for you because you trust him and because you need him. He wants to spend eternity with you.
You know, we don't know when this will happen. We're hoping it will be very, very soon. But we know one thing. We know that his coming is certain. He already came, pay the price for you, and now he's going to come back for you. And that certainty is the assurance that you can hope in.
Jesus paid the price for you. He wouldn't pay that price and then leave you the prize here. He's paid the price, and now he's coming back to get you. You can bank on it. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, this is not a day of dread for you. This is a day of glory, because you will spend eternity with the one who loves you, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.